Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. One man challenged another to an all-day wood-chopping contest, and the man who was challenged was very excited. He says, yes, absolutely. And he got there and at the start bell, started chopping wood, chopped wood all day, did his absolute best to get as high of a pile of chopped wood as you could possibly get, only taking a small lunch break. And in his excitement, every time he'd look over at the other guy, the guy who challenged him, every time he looked over, the guy was sitting, relaxing. He took a long, leisurely lunch. But sure enough, at the end of the competition, the guy with the long lunch break had won. Very upset, he goes over to the guy and he says, well, how on earth did you beat me when every time I looked over, there you were just sitting? And the challenger smiled. He says, well, what you didn't see is while I was sitting, I was sharpening my axe. And you know what? We often talk about revival. We often talk about coming back and restoration after backsliding. But you know what? We can stop from ever getting there just by staying refreshed and sharp in the Lord. And it's a daily practice. Some days, depending on it, I may need to be refreshed two or three times before I get to the end of the day. But we have our distractions, we have our works, we have the different things happening in our lives, the doctor appointments, the deadlines due at work, and they kind of override the general things that would keep us healthy spiritually. And when we allow that to happen, we become very much like that axe, dull. And while we can work and work and work for spiritual growth, we never quite achieve it because we're doing it from the wrong angle. We're doing it in the wrong way. We are not as sharp or as close to the Father as we ought to be. Like standing under cool water on a hot day, you need spiritual refreshment on a regular basis. You can't go full force forever. You'll eventually need to renew your strength. Likewise, if you sit for too long, you get that sluggish feeling. You ever get that? If you've been sitting for too long, we did that after the race. Sister Glenda, she got up. She was, I don't know, she rebuilt half of her house. I don't know, she was working. I went home and I drove around for a little bit doing some errands, came back and I sat down for a second. Now, one of us felt good and the other one felt horrible getting up at the end of the day. Why? Because that's not really part of refreshment. Some people think, well, I'm relaxing, I should feel good. Sometimes too much relaxing will make you feel just as bad as if you worked all day. Right? There's a good balance. You can't leave a tool sit outside in the shed forever. It's got to have work, and you can't work at full force without sharpening it every now and then. And much the same goes for you. You can't do nothing, and you can't do everything. You must continue to work with all the strength that God gave you, taking those times to renew your strength and to renew the sharpness of your blade. What we see first here in verse 10 is the desire for a clean heart. And folks, if we are to stay refreshed, we need a clean heart. I would never ask this question, but if I were to ask the question, who took a shower in the last couple days, I would hope to be smiling at the response and not feeling awkward. Right? Why do we do that? Well, one, because we're not European. Number two, because it does feel good to get all the dirt washed off of you. I was telling the kids that growing up, we used to have this property up north. And for two straight weeks, if my parents could afford it, I would not wear shoes. I would barely wear socks at all. You just see me out there running in the dirt. Me and my brother and all my cousins out there running in the dirt, climbing up trees, messing around. By the time they got us home and showered, they never showered you at the property up north because all they had was the camper shower. And you put one of us in there and you're going to clog that drain. They would get us home and just, it'd almost have to take the hose out to us. And you know what? As a kid, that was fun for me to go out there and play forever. But it did kind of feel nice when all of that was washed away. Think about a hard day working out in the yard. When you come in, you want a cold drink of water, and you probably want a shower. It feels good. Cleaning your spirit feels good too. Though our flesh desires to hang on to the sin and continue on in it, we are miserable the more of it we have. We think that by doing this or doing that, we'll get the thrill, we'll get this enjoyment, but in the end, it just kind of bogs us down spiritually. We struggle in our Bible reading, we struggle in our prayer, we struggle to pay attention during church. Why? Because we are bogged down in those things. Those are the weights that so easily beset us that Paul talked about. We lay them on and lay them on. Oh, but it feels so much better when you can take them off. You think about soldiers who work out in the hot desert. They've got all of their gear on them and they're out there working hard. Doesn't it feel good for them to take the weight off at the end of the day? Maybe be able to slip into a shower and wash away all the dirt and all the sweat and all the nastiness from the day. We need to, on a regular basis, a daily basis, go to the Father and ask for forgiveness of our sins. Lord, please forgive me. Please keep me from getting into that again. I had a friend as we were growing up, did not particularly care for where he went. Now, some of us, we were smart. We knew, you don't play in those bushes, you don't play in those bushes, you don't go over there. Why? Because I can get as dirty as I want, but I get poison ivy on me, that doesn't wash off. We sit there, we itch at our sin, and we get frustrated at things. And we say, well, no, I'd rather have the freedom of running anywhere in the forest than avoiding this. It is better to avoid that sin. Father, please let me not fall into the poison ivy of sin. Let me not fall into the picker bushes of sin. Because you know what? That's going to be an irritation. That's going to cause trouble. Give me the strength to avoid having to come back here and tell you that I was wrong and ask for your forgiveness. We ought to be mindful of how much blood it takes to wash our sins away. And once that sin is gone, once we've asked for that forgiveness, it's important for us to not let that sin come back in. Do not be so quick to have that house guest back over. Do not be so quick to put your hand where you once were burned. All right, be careful, be mindful, stay away from those things. If it's a matter of having to put certain things into place so that you have some accountability to stop going into sin, that's what I would push you to do. Set up the accountability. Make sure that you're being able to stay clean. We need to renew, as that verse says. Let's read that again. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. You ever just feel like your spirit's not right? I've done that. I woke up, maybe I got a bit of an attitude, like I'm having a hard time. I'll wake up and I get those little boys, they'll come down the stairs and they got me with it yesterday morning. Morning, Daddy. Those are good mornings. I love that. Morning, Daddy. And just they got those little sing song in the morning voice. Right? And then sometimes they'll come down those stairs. And you know that none of the furniture is going to make it. Sometimes there's just a difference in our spirit, right? You got that coworker. Sometimes they come in up, sometimes they come in down. Maybe that's you, where you know what? I'm having a bad day. Well, when did you decide that at 9 o'clock in the morning, right? Change your spirit. Hey, Lord, I'm not right. I'm irritated. I'm angry. I feel this. I've got some doubts about that. Lord, deal with me. Brighten me back up that I can be the salt and the light that I'm supposed to be and not just bitter and just encrusted. Like, let me be something different. Reach into me. Renew me before I get too far into this day. And don't let your day go too far with the wrong kind of spirit. Make sure you have that adjustment between you and the Father as soon as possible. And I'll get this from people every now and then when I give this advice to them when they're having a bad day. So you need to stop. You need to get it right with God. Whether you've done sin, whether you've got frustration, whatever it is, you need to take 10 minutes, take 20 minutes, whatever you got, give that to the Lord and talk to Him. Well, I don't have time to do that. If you don't have time to do something right, just go home. Because you're going to spend the next 2 days trying to fix what you did without 10 minutes to spare. You're going to spend 2 days to fix that. All right? Apologizing to people, getting over arguments and disputes, getting over those irritations with the family. You need to stop. Get your heart right. And here's an idea. Once you do that, go back in and say, hey, listen, I had the wrong kind of heart. I'm so very sorry. I was mean to you. Make sure you ask for forgiveness. Because I'll get this all the time. You know what? I'm sorry. I was having a bad day. like having a bad day completely takes over you and it controls what you did. All right. If I said something mean to you, I said something mean to you. I'm sorry. If I was angry, if I was aggressive, if I was slowing things down because of my spirit, I did that. Those were decisions I made. I'm sorry. Don't blame it on something else. Take responsibility for what you did when you had a broken spirit. Reclaim your self-discipline on a regular basis. Right, we're talking about that in our Sunday school class and having some form of self-discipline and having it, being able to teach self-discipline. Why should I control what I do? Because what I do matters. It does. What you do on a regular basis matters, and it has an effect. It's not just a matter of will you get applause or will people like you. It goes beyond that. You have a responsibility to God for your actions. Have self-discipline. Don't completely fly off the deep end to where you get to where my coworker was. Well, how was your night? Well, I drank a whole bottle of wine. Okay. And how do you feel now? I feel worse than I did yesterday. Okay. Next time they have a bad day, come in. How'd it go? I drank a bottle and a half. How do you feel today? Well, I feel worse than I did yesterday. There's simple mathematics there. There's cause and effect. If you feel bad after doing it, stop doing it, right? Now, we can flip this over to a more Baptist thing. I was having a bad day, so I stopped off at Wendy's, got three French fry orders. I got two Frosties. I got this, I got that. I ordered a pizza on the way home, right? Don't do that either. Have some self-discipline. Well, I was yelling at this guy in my car. Don't do that. Have self-discipline. Well, I came home and I really let my spouse have it. Don't do that. Have some control over yourself. We are not children. Well, some of us are, but we are not children. We ought to be responsible. Responsible with those that we love. Responsible with those around us. The person that you try to run off the road today because you had a bad day at work will be the person you have to witness to tomorrow. And oh, won't you be surprised. I like it. One preacher said this, you know, that one person that you're nasty to and that you're mean to, you'll be surprised when they see you up in heaven, but not as surprised as they are to see you. It's like, oh, you got it? Lord saved you too? We ought to have that control over our reactions. Reassert your priorities. God comes first. My heart being clean comes first. We had this lady that I knew one time. She had a horrible, horrible hoarding habit. And everything was so valuable and important. And you can't get rid of it because at one particular time, somebody that she knew brushed it with their sleeve. So you have to have it. And you have to have it in the basement. And you go through, and you're like, what are you doing with this? Well, I just like to hang on to it. What are you doing with that? I just like to hang on to it. Bitterness, sin, we're kind of hoarders that way. Well, that one time you gave me that look over there and I didn't appreciate the way you did that and I'm going to hang on to that for the rest of my life. Now, I'm going to forgive you because I'm a good Christian, but I'm never going to forget it. That's not right. Let that stuff go. Reassert your priorities. I don't need this in my heart. I got bigger things that need to go on in my heart. I learned this. The more I've got on my mind, the less room I've got for new stuff. Right? the more I'm thinking of, Danielle's probably the biggest victim to this. I'll have like five different things I'm thinking about. She'll come over and she'll say something. And it's like those teachers from Peanuts those Peanuts cartoons. And I feel so bad. And I was joking about this with some of the men. You know, she'll say that I forgot something. And I'll be honest, I can't remember if I forgot something or not. So I just assume she's right. Because I got so much going on in there. Listen, if you're hanging on to hiding your sin and you're hanging on to all the lies that you've told and you're hanging on to all the bitterness and all the anger and all the frustration, you're hanging on to that stuff, you got your priorities wrong. Let the garbage go. Pay attention. It's like a teenager who's always got something in their ears and dad's like, hey, listen, did you clean your room? And they didn't say anything. Hey, listen, did you clean your room? And they didn't say anything. Dad gets louder and louder and finally they pull the thing out. What? I hate the fact that we're so much like that with our Heavenly Father. Stop this sin. Amen. No, stop it. Amen. Stop doing that. Oh, yeah, praise the Lord. Get the garbage out of your ear. Pay attention to what the preacher's saying. Stop doing the sin. Right? You've known this. You know this. Stop doing it. Set the proper priorities. I knew a person one time, they kept a list of every wrong that was ever done to them. A literal list. They put it on post-it notes. They had it around their mirror in their bedroom. I looked at that going, that is the weirdest shrine I've ever seen in my life. I go, we're going to have to get someone to look at you. That's not right. We need to have the right priorities in order to have the right kind of spirit. If you're focused on garbage, your attitude's going to be garbage. Verse 11 gives us this. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Can I tell you something? Something you probably already know. You ain't nothing without God. You're not. Not a single one of us are. There's a lot of people out there, they're trying to live without God. You know what? They're making it look really good. They got their fancy vacations. They got the beautiful pictures that they take of all their dogs and all of the food that they've ever made on their $9,000 grills. And they look like they're having a really good time. Until the bill comes due and they pass on. I ain't nothing without the Lord. I can have 1,000 houses with 1,000 acres each. And I ain't nothing without them. I can have 1,000,000 smiles, but on the day of judgment, if I've got tears in my eyes, there's a problem. I ain't nothing without him. What we need is we need to have him in our lives and understand the value of it. If I understood and fully thought all the way through who I am without God, there would be no question as to my Bible reading. There would be no question as to my conversation with him. I would be desperate and I would be starving to hear from his word and to speak to him and make known my problems and make known my desires and make known my praise to him. There would be no question to that if I had a good view of who I was without him. Don't forget who you are. We ought to pray that every day. Lord, please do not cast me away. But brother, what about salvation and eternal security and all those are all there. But that doesn't mean you lose that respect. It doesn't. I had a guy who told me one time, he goes, you can't fire me. I'm the only one who's willing to work for this price. As it turned out, it was super easy to replace him. There was a lot of people that wanted to work for that price. You can't. Lord needs me. He doesn't need you. He called you. He made it inescapable for you. But just because the Lord made it super easy for you does not mean that you should get ungrateful. Don't be ungrateful. Understand every day that if he were to stop listening to your petitions, that if he were to stop caring for you in the way that he cares for you, your life would be miserable. Luke 19, verse 40 says this to the attitude of, well, you know, I'm very valuable to the Lord, and he would never push me away because I've got eternal security. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. And for context here, some people had come to Jesus and said, you got to get your people to be quiet. He said, well, if they stop talking, these rocks would cry out just at his command. All right, everything that we have, our salvation is from the Lord. Our eternal security is from the Lord. We can't use eternal security for reasons for why we're sitting back doing nothing. That's the opposite. If you're going to give me eternal security, you've got my right now. You've got my rest of my life. You've got all that from me. It's not even a matter of I'm owing it to you like I can pay you back. I owe it to you and I know that it won't pay you back. I'm going to give everything I have. I don't sit there afraid that God would ever take my salvation away. I don't sit there afraid that God would ever unduly cast me away. We understand how salvation works, but my heart still clings to him. Do not put me down. I've seen a lot of Christians never once lose their salvation because, again, we can't lose it. But with firm understanding they can't lose their salvation, still live a life up on a shelf in disobedience and in anger and in distance. The Lord could not use them because they refused to do their duty. We ought not to want to be without him. Which would cause us to, on a regular basis, acknowledge our need for his grace. Not just for the larger blessings, the healing and the safe travels and all the big things that we ask for, but on a regular basis, the minute graces or the ones that we never see at all, the protections and the blessings that God gave us that we didn't even think about them being there. Can you think of a time in your life where you look back and you said, wow, God worked that out in just such a way so that when this happened, that would be there. That makes all the sense now that I can look back at it. That's how God works. We're nothing without His grace. Not just in salvation, but on a regular basis. Go ahead and touch your heart. Every beat is a gift from Him. Every time your brain works the way that it ought to, although we joke about how little it does work, every time your brain does something it's supposed to do, you praise the Lord for that, because there are people sitting in hospitals can't work that out. We were in high school. We had this kid named Mike. He was a tall guy, a giant of a man. He had some kind of a problem in his brain as he got to his senior year. His brain stopped doing what it was supposed to do as far as his motor functions. And he almost lost his life. They got him on medications. They got whatever the problem was stopped before it advanced too far. But he would describe how he would walk. And how he would have to do is he would have to think about every action as it happened. Lifting up my leg, pulling forward my ankle, dropping it down. He had to think about everything he did. And for a while there, he would even narrate out what it was he was doing as part of his physical therapy, just so he could move. He lost almost a half a year of school, lost his driver's license at the age of 17, all because of this problem. So you know what you do when you wake up in the morning and your thumbs and your fingers work just fine? You praise God for that. That's grace. Acknowledge that need. Thank Him on a regular basis. Count your blessings. And I'll tell you what, rely on Him for your future. Verse 12 gives us, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." It's great that we can never lose our salvation. It is kind of sad how quickly we lose our joy from time to time. Will let circumstances around us, will let things happening in our peripherals change our feelings on how in control God is of things. God never loses control. He never misses a beat. Don't lose your joy out of fear. Don't lose your joy out of ungratefulness. You know, why is it that so-and-so from work has all of these things and has this, you know, incredibly large amount of fun on a regular basis, and I can barely keep the lights on at the house? Don't fret over those things. Don't lose your joy over those things. Right? That's not the stuff of life. If you have the salvation God has given you, you have far more than could ever be earned with overtime here on earth. Maintain that joy. Ask for the joy to return. Lord, give me joy. Teach my heart excitement. One of the things that I've always done when it came down to amazing things in our family, being half a millennial, every now and then you experiment with stuff. So I'll put a hashtag on something in social media if I post a picture of the kids. And it's always the same. It's from that song. I can't think of the name of the song, but the thing that I use is, "Lord, you taught me joy." When dealing with my salvation, He taught me joy in that. When I would sit there and I would weep and wonder whether or not we were going to be able to have kids, and I have them, "Lord, you taught me joy." When the Lord brought us here and worked out the timing of it in just such a way, "Lord, you taught me joy." When everything was going bad, when everything seemed to be going wrong, and for whatever reason I could still praise your name and feel every bit of honesty in that praise, "Lord, you taught me joy. You kept that within me. You did not let it go. Restore to me that joy." If you ever find yourself forgetting the value of your salvation, forgetting the value that God has put into your life, you go back to Him and say, "Lord, wake me back up." Because there's no reason whatsoever for me to ever doubt your goodness, for me to ever doubt that you've blessed my life. And you know what? We may have hard times coming, and all lives come to a conclusion. Barring the rapture, ain't none of us getting out of here alive, folks. We all have an end coming. No matter what that is, I can still have joy in God. Ask Him to restore your heart. Ask Him to hold you up. Verse 13, "Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." The fact of the matter is that if your heart is not right, if you don't have a clean heart, if you don't have a heart that is relying on God and acknowledges its reliance on God, and if you do not have that joy of your salvation, Him holding you up in the way that He should, in the way that you ought to have, you cannot do much for Him. You cannot not read your Bible and be a great warrior for God. You cannot not pray and still find success. You will fall apart. You will fall back. I've never met a single person who got out of church because they read their Bible too much. It's always the other way around. They stopped before they left. Right now, I'm not talking about changing of memberships. I'm talking about those that just decide they're going to sit at home. I'll have nothing to do with God. They never prayed their way to get there. They stopped praying long before. It's a sad thing, but it's something that can happen to each and every one of us if we are not careful. How am I going to be able to stand against my own sin without my relationship with God? How am I supposed to be able to do anything in His hand if I am not sharp? And not just sharp by my own standards, but sharp by the Lord's. In your house, you no doubt have many knives, right? You wouldn't cut your steak with a butter knife, would you? That'd be ridiculous. How long would that take? I went to a job interview for Cutco one time. Those are the knife people. And what they want is they want you to approach everybody that you know, everybody in your oikos, talk to them about Cutco knives. And one of the illustrations that they gave us is they took a knife that was just completely dull and tried to cut through a rope. And what they said is, now make sure that you hold it loose while they're cutting, and then when you really start to see them get frustrated, draw it tight so it'll cut through the rope. I'm like, well, some of my relatives would stab me. I play that game. Oops. But, and they said, now when you get the Cutco knife out, keep that thing very firm and taut. Just let them sing through that thing. Different knives have different levels of sharpness, and while the devil plays his tricks, you would not use a butter knife to cut a piece of rope, right? You would not use your steak knife to spread butter. Well, I mean, you could, but it's just not something you'd naturally go for. If I was buttering a roll, I'd grab a butter knife. Each knife has its own point. Each knife has its own level of sharpness that's needed. Serrated blades, completely different. You are to be as sharp as God requires you to be. You ought to be able to give an answer, as the Bible says. Be ready. In your study, be sharp. It is so sad when you see people resign themselves to the lives of a dullard, somebody who just doesn't understand and doesn't want to understand. It absolutely kills me, the level of knowledge in this society and how it has fallen away from where it has. We've got some people out there, they really struggle, right? If you look up the current literacy rates, are struggling right now. People are having a hard time reading. People are having a hard time remembering history. There was somebody just recently did a poll, and I'm not sure if it was just down in a market somewhere. I don't know where they did it, so I'm not going to stand on it as science. But they were asking people who Adolf Hitler was. And a lot of people, you would sit there and say, you just kind of read through, thought he was an Italian guy, thought he was a communist, thought it was Donald Trump's middle name, just different silly reactions. And you look at it, and it was about 70% of people actually got it right. And then I stopped to think, only like 70 and some change. Really? 3/4 of the people? Where were you? Were you at a kindergarten festival? Like, what happened? But I thought about that. I'm like, you know what? People do struggle in that way. Again, not because they're naturally like that, but because they've got no desire to invest in their studies. I grew up with kids like that. You grew up with kids like that. They very rarely went to class. They very rarely paid any attention if they were there. They didn't want to do much. And guess what? These people, they became adults. They became adults, and they go out there. And now some adults, you fool around in school, and you come back out, and you're just fine. Right? There was a kid that sat behind me in French class. He napped the entire time, still got a better grade than I did. Me with my note-taking and my fierce paying attention, he napped through the thing and still did better. You know, some people can do that. The vast majority, though, cannot. We can't do that in church and expect for us to be well. We can't not put things into practice and expect everything to go okay. Keep on it. Keep sharpening yourself with the Word and with good teaching and with good understanding. I, again, love it when the men come up here and they give their devotions. I love getting stuff out of it. And I'll tell you what, last Sunday was one of the most uncomfortable Sundays I have ever had in a while. And there was the Sunday at Flat Rock where the wasps got in. I was more uncomfortable last Sunday being here all by myself. And mostly it's because it's just my voice. I need the voices of others. I need to hear you singing to help me sing. I need to hear you talking of spiritual things. I needed to hear us pray together. I need those things as a church member. I need the men to come up and give those devotions. I need us to have spiritual conversations. Every now and then we'll be doing something. Either it's the coffee get-togethers or the men's fellowships. I've only been to one ladies' fellowship, but I'm sure it happens at the ladies' fellowships where someone will ask a question, someone will make a statement. We'll be talking about the Bible. I need that to keep myself sharp. And can I tell you something? You need it too. You need that. And not just my voice, but you need the voices of those around you as we sing together, as we serve together, as we push together. You know, you don't think about it much, but when we're working with these kids over here, sometimes that's a fight, isn't it? It really is. It doesn't feel like, well, I'm going to go fight, serve the Lord. How are you going to fight, serve the Lord? We're playing kickball today. And it can be. Because you think about it. Some of these kids, you know, not these kids. I know how, you know, I look at Maris sometimes. She's not here so I can talk about her. I look at Maris sometimes. You know, if I could just take notes. Just let me come over, sit at the little coffee island they got there, the kitchen island. I just take some notes. That would be good. But all joking aside, you know, we've got them for just a few short little whiles, don't we? Just a few hours out of the day. When everything else out there is bombarding and fighting and kicking their door in to get their attention. They've only got a few little bit of windows here and there. For ours, we got the family devotion. We got church on Sunday, church on Wednesday, right? We got that devotion on Thursday for the kids now. But in all honesty, there's far more content out there that I'll ever really be able to compete with in a week. We'd have to have everybody in here, you know, 12 hours out of the day just to combat what you could get out in this world. We are fighting. And not just for the kids, on the kids' behalf, but you know, in many ways, as you come in, if you're watching 5 to 6 hours of television a day, I'm not preaching that long. I'm not. You're probably not reading your Bible that long. Stay sharp with the things that you should be. You wouldn't go out and sharpen your knife with an oven mitt. You wouldn't sharpen your knife with the sidewalk, hopefully, right? You'd want to find something appropriate to sharpen that tool. In order for you to stay sharp, you need learning. You need excitement. You need a more disciplined kind of study. You need that focus. When I was a kid, I could do that. I could get A's on a test studying in front of the television set. I can't do that with the Word of God. I can't get away with that. It demands my complete attention. Because if just one little bit of me can get carried away, in my flesh, I'll go. We need focus. I'll talk about that too, why I don't use my tablet or I won't use my phone as a Bible if I don't have to when I'm doing my daily reading. Why? Because, well, I'll get a little ding. That's an email, and I'll go look over at the email, and I'll answer the email. Some of you've done that. You've sent me text messages or emails, and I got back with you like 2 weeks later going, oh, yeah, I got that, and I took care of it. Because I rushed off, and in my little pea brain, I never came back to say, oh, yeah, we're covered. I do that all the time, especially with prayer requests. Hey, brother, can you pray for this? And I'll open up my laptop, and I'll write it down, and I'll look over. I'm like, you know, it's been a while since I've updated this thing, and I'll get on to that. I can't allow myself to be distracted. I know myself better than that. So you got to turn. I'll go to the office. I'll turn the music off even. I'll turn all the sound down. I'll just sit there in quiet reading the Word. Why? Because that's what will sharpen you. That's what will get you on the firing line again. That is what will get you excited. There is a great fight out there. We talked about it this morning, and most of that fight comes from within. If I'm going to be able to hack away all this distraction and all this doubt and all this temptation that I am faced with on a regular basis, I must be sharpened by the hands of God. I must be. As we continue on in our reading, deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. We were kind of joking around, some of the men in the back, and I thought about this, and I don't know if I made a face or not. I try not to make faces. I try to just be... We're talking about that. Was it is better to ask forgiveness than permission. And I thought about this verse going, man, we're about to go to that verse in the Bible that says it's better to just do it right than ask forgiveness. I'm still going to keep doing what we said we were going to do. No. But we think about, Lord, I surrender my will to you. I surrender my reactions to you. I surrender what I'm going to do to what you want. And you know what? Sometimes that's going to be inconvenient for me. Sometimes that's going to be uncomfortable for me. But I've experienced it enough to know that while I may be uncomfortable for just a little while, there's a greater thing coming on the other side. There is joy on the other side. There is strength on the other side. There's everything God has commanded of me on the other side. And folks, that's what we ought to be pushing towards. My obedience. And in obedience, I also get this next thing, and that is praise, where I tell God how great he is. You know what? I've expressed this, and I've probably taught you this enough. I am not a good singer. But you know what? I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to sing in that office. I'm going to sing in my car. I'll sing in the shower if nobody's awake yet, which actually kind of sounds more mean than waiting for everyone to be awake. Praise him. Tell God how great he is. I can't sing. He already knows that. And you know what? You're probably not a good talker either. Just forget about it. But praise him. Tell him how great he is. Don't worry about it. He knows what he gave you. He knows what your pipes can do. He knows what you're capable of. He wants to hear you sing. He wants to hear how glad you are. We get so bogged down in the problems, and we get so bogged down in how things aren't working right and how hot it is or how cold it is, how uncomfortable my favorite chair gets to be. We get all caught up in the whining, and we forget the joy. We forget the praise. Lord, thank you for this. Yes, I'm struggling here and I'm struggling there, but I know you're here for me. Yes, this horrible thing has just happened in my life, but I know you are here. Stay refreshed. Stay sharp. Don't wait until you've hit the point to where you're dull and unuseful. Get sharpened every day, right? As a good steward or a good workman, we would sit there, we would sharpen those tools. There are certain tools that I always had to have on me. When I was going around doing my maintenance job, right? I had my screwdriver, I had a pair of channel locks, I had a pair of tweezers, I had one of those multi-painter tools that you can do literally anything with. I always had that right there. If I didn't have those, I'd go back to the house to get it. Depending on the stuff that I would do, I'd always make sure I'd have certain things. Little tiny screwdrivers, electrical tester meter, flashlight, all those things right here. If I didn't have them, I'd be a mess. Make sure you have your tools with you on a regular basis. Get your Bible reading. Make sure you've prayed. Make sure you've resigned yourself to the Lord's will that day. And I tell you what, you will have a good day. You will have a day that's strong. Yeah, there may be rough stuff that happens in it, but you'll be prepared for it. And that's what we're talking about, folks. Stay prepared for the work at hand. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for your continual mercies and your